This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily via the internet address www.parstoday.com/en. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Intelsat 902, and Eutelsat satellite, as well as via internet. You can also listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for more details.
Listen to verses 9 to 11 of chapter Hud from the Holy Quran, recited by Mr. Sayyid Ahmad Mirzadeh Waqifi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَلَئِنْ أَذَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنَّا رَحْمَةً ثُمَّ نَزَعْنَاهَا مِنْهُ وَلَئِنْ أَذَقْنَاهُ نَعْمَاءَ بَعْدَ ضَرَّاءَ مَسَّتْهُ لَيَقُولَنَّ ذَهَبَ السَّيِّئَاتُ عَنِّي إِنَّهُ لَفَرِحٌ فَخُورٌ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَئِكَ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صبروا وعملوا الصالحات أولئك لهم مغفرة وأجر كبير. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
In the name of God, the most compassionate, the most merciful. And if we make man taste mercy from us, then take it off from him, most surely he is despairing, ungrateful. And if we make him taste a favor after distress has afflicted him, he will certainly say, "The evils are gone away from me." Most surely he is exulting, boasting. Except those who are patient and do good. They shall have forgiveness and a great reward.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The United States says it has no information to confirm that Iran is providing Russia with surface-to-surface missiles and more drones. Also ahead, the latest on the war between Russia and Ukraine. President Zelensky says Moscow has destroyed almost a third of Ukraine's power stations in the past week. Plus, Mali warns it will exercise its right to self-defense if France continues to undermine the West African country's sovereignty and national security. Hello and welcome to World News. Iran doubles down on its earlier stance that it has not supplied weapons to Russia to be used against Ukraine, saying it's ready to talk to Kiev and resolve any allegations. Foreign Ministry spokesman says those claims are untrue and based on false information. According to Nasser Kanani, the accusations are part of the Western propaganda campaign against Tehran. Kiev and the West claim Russia has been using Iranian-made drones to strike Ukrainian cities in recent weeks. The Kremlin has denied this, saying it uses Russian-made weapons in its strikes. Also, certain Western media have cited US security officials saying more Iranian drones as well as missiles are headed towards Ukraine. The Pentagon has not confirmed those reports, but said it will take steps to make the sale of Iranian drones harder. Ukraine has also threatened to cut diplomatic ties with Iran. But Tehran says it holds a neutral stance and believes dialogue is the best way to end the war. Russia admitting that its forces are under pressure from Ukrainian troops trying to retake regions under its control. The commander of Russian forces in Ukraine has described the military situation in those areas as tense and difficult. Sergei Surovikin says Ukrainian forces are deliberately targeting the infrastructure and residential buildings in the southern city of Kherson. There are also reports of Kiev intensifying attacks on other areas. Since late August, Ukraine has recaptured hundreds of kilometers during its counterattacks. The advances come amid Russian attacks on Ukrainian infrastructure. President Volodymyr Zelensky says the attacks have destroyed 30% of the country's power stations since October the 10th. He says they've caused massive outages. Divisions remain in the European Union over how to deal with the bloc's energy crisis. Tens of thousands of businesses in the EU face the prospect of going bust due to rising electricity prices. Jerome Hughes reports from Brussels.
Abdullah Hassan runs a modest grocery store close to Brussels city centre. He only uses three refrigerators and turns them off for part of the day. Customers are complaining to him about rising prices at the checkout. The store might be modest, but his energy bills are certainly not.
I used to pay 250 euros per month for just electricity, not the gas. I don't have gas here. Now, they suggested me to increase my monthly bill to 850 euros. That's more than the triple. That's incredible. I cannot pay with a small business like this.
The move by EU leaders to cut Russian gas imports by two-thirds is taking its toll. It costs a fortune to import liquefied natural gas from the US. It's good for America, but not for EU citizens. The European Commission wants the EU's 27 countries to buy gas as one single client by April.
Europe's energy demand is very large, so it is logical that instead of outbidding each other, the member states and the energy companies should leverage their joint purchasing power.
The European Commission has just presented a new emergency regulation designed to fight high energy prices and ensure security of supply. But many experts say it is clear sanctions against Moscow over the conflict in Ukraine will continue to backfire. As desperate citizens look to alternatives, extreme anti-EU political parties in the bloc are gaining ground. It's for this reason that many analysts are saying EU leaders might look back on their handling of the Ukraine-Russia question with enormous regret. Billions of euro are being pumped by the EU into Ukraine's government and army. We do not hear any mention of peace negotiations. A countless number of business people in the EU, like Abdullah, are anxiously wondering for how much longer it will be feasible to keep their doors open. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Mali says it would exercise its right to self-defense if France continued to undermine the West African country's sovereignty and national security. Malian foreign minister said France had violated its country's airspace and delivered arms to militants that have been engaged in an offensive in northern Mali for the past decade. Speaking at the United Nations, Abdoulaye Diop underlined the need for a Security Council meeting to investigate evidence regarding acts of espionage waged by France. Relations between France and Mali have soured since an August 2020 coup. Paris says it is withdrawing troops which were sent to Mali in 2013. France claims the troops were in Mali to help rid the country of insurgency. North Korea says it fired artillery shells toward its east and west coasts in a grave warning to South Korea. Pyongyang says, quote, enemies should immediately stop provocative actions that cause military tension. According to the South Korean military, Pyongyang fired some 250 shells into the sea. North Korea's latest military activity comes just a day after the South kicked off its annual Hoguk defense drills. Seoul says the joint maneuvers are aimed at boosting the ability of its troops to counter North Korea's nuclear threats. Pyongyang says the drills are a rehearsal for invasion. North Korea has repeatedly reacted by launching long- and short-range missiles. Joining us out of Seoul is Frank Smith. Frank, thank you so much for joining us today. Let me ask you my first question. North Korea says South Korea's joint maneuvers have raised tensions on the Korean Peninsula. What's so significant about the drills this time around?
Well, these drills, actually, the Hoguk exercises, one of the things they try to do is to bridge water. They involve amphibious river crossings. So that in itself might be a provocative action as viewed by Pyongyang. And Pyongyang generally views South Korean military exercises, especially those involving the United States, which took place on a large scale earlier this summer, the largest drills in something like 5 years. North Korea views these as a rehearsal for invasion. South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol, a conservative that was elected in May, has chosen to take a hard line with North Korea, strengthen the alliance with the United States. One of the things that he called for from his own military is to develop the capacity to target North Korea's leadership directly should a conflict break out. So certainly with this new conservative president in South Korea, tension on the Korean Peninsula has increased recently.
Frank, do you think the rising tension makes a nuclear conflict on the Korean Peninsula imminent?
I don't think it makes a nuclear conflict really imminent. There is a lot of analysis out there that North Korea is going to conduct a seventh nuclear test sometime before November 7th or 8th. That's the American midterm elections. But after the Chinese Communist Party Congress that's ongoing right now, North Korea has said repeatedly that its nuclear weapons are for deterrence. And we need to recognize that North Korea feels under threat. There are 28,500 U.S. troops in South Korea. And this does sort of raise the tension, the increase in the militarization here of the southern part of the Korean Peninsula, South Korea bringing in Joint Strike Fighter F-35s, the most modern aircraft from the United States here, and deploying them in South Korea. These types of measures, the development of destroyers in South Korea, the deployment of the USS Ronald Reagan recently for these large-scale drills, a nuclear-powered aircraft carrier capable of delivering nuclear weapons in the case of a conflict, calls from the South Korean president for extended deterrence, the commitment of the U.S. to use nuclear weapons should it be attacked. These types of things have increased the tension on the Korean Peninsula. However, North Korea, again, views its nuclear weapons program as a deterrence against a conflict on the Korean Peninsula. And we need to recognize that there is some separation between these drills and this tension and the likelihood of a conflict here.
Very well. Thank you very much for joining us and sharing your insights with us. Frank Smith joining us from Seoul. Moving on now, 3 weeks from midterm elections in the United States, President Joe Biden's approval rating stays close to the lowest level during his presidency. A new poll conducted by Reuters shows only 40% of Americans are satisfied with Biden's performance. The two-day national poll remains unchanged compared to the ones last week. It shows about a third of Americans see the economy as the principal problem facing the country. The respondents included both Democrats and Republicans. With the elections ahead, the new figure is raising the alarms that Democrats may lose control of the House of Representatives and the Senate. The United States is facing high inflation, with many families struggling to cover expenses. Biden's popularity hit a record low of 36% in May and June. Ignoring mass protests in Haiti, which rejected foreign intervention, Washington says it will propose a non-UN mission authorizing to use military force in the Caribbean country. This as the United States is routinely accused of masterminding the assassination of Haiti's previous president. Ramin Mazari reports from Chicago.
Washington is poised to spearhead yet another military intervention in protest-racked Haiti and will even propose a non-United Nations mission to do so. Anti-government protesters have become routinely labeled gang members in the Western mainstream media. However, many say that such a negative characterization aims to smooth Western public opinion for the use of force in Haiti yet again.
Even calling them gangs in some ways might be misleading. Some of these groups are political organizations, and the state is so weak because state institutions have been eroded by neoliberal policies, by corruption, by neocolonial policies, that these forces that are leading these protests could potentially have the power to overthrow this U.S. puppet government.
Haitian instability escalated following the 2021 assassination of President Jovenel Moïse by Colombian mercenaries. Western mainstream media have reported that several of the assassins worked alongside U.S. intelligence groups. Haitian media accuses Washington of hiding evidence to keep its role in the murder a mystery.
Who replaced him? A U.S. puppet named Ariel Henry, who's the current president. Ariel Henry has no democratic mandate, and he has a long history of serving U.S. imperial interests in Haiti. In fact, he got his political start in being involved in the coup backed by the U.S. that ousted the progressive popular president, Aristide, who was the first ever democratically elected president of Haiti.
Haitian civil society groups have emphatically rejected the prime minister's call for foreign intervention. There is also widespread denunciation for the West, which continues to back the government despite its decision to indefinitely postpone elections and a constitutional referendum. Many protesters have called upon Beijing and Moscow to use their UN Security Council veto to reject an official United Nations mission. In 2010, UN peacekeepers caused an outbreak of cholera which killed 10,000 Haitians and infected nearly 1 million, with sexual assault scandals commonplace. For over two centuries, Haitian sovereignty has been regularly subjugated, first by France and then by the United States. Ramin Mazahiri, Chicago.
U.S. President Joe Biden will announce the release of 15 million barrels of strategic oil reserves in a bid to counter soaring energy prices ahead of midterm elections. A senior administration official has said more release would be likely in case of a spike in energy prices. The 15 million figure is the last part of 180 million barrels Biden ordered in March to release from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. The move comes about 2 weeks after OPEC and its oil exporting allies announced a cut in oil production by 2 million barrels per day to boost prices. Biden first tapped the reserves last November amid a spike in gas prices and soaring inflation that was exacerbated by the war in Ukraine. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says the Israeli regime is conducting, quote, systematic terrorism by targeting Palestinians across the globe. Hamas called for international condemnation and prosecution of Israel for its attacks on Palestinians abroad. This after Malaysian officials said they arrested Israeli spies for kidnapping a Palestinian activist. Hamas also praised the Malaysian government for the release of the abducted Palestinian. The resistance movement said that Mossad had violated Malaysia's sovereignty. On Tuesday, Malaysia reported the arrest of citizens who were recruited and trained by the Mossad to capture, interrogate and torture the Palestinian. And finally, Yemeni children remain the most affected segment of the society as the world's largest humanitarian crisis continues in the Arab country. Recent international reports say over 2 million Yemeni children are out of school, while nearly 3,000 schools have been damaged during the Saudi war. Abdul Latif al-Washali reports from Sana'a.
Since the beginning of the Saudi-led coalition war on Yemen on March 2015, attacks on education centers have severely disrupted access to education. A recent UN report says over 2,900 schools have been destroyed, partially damaged, or used for non-educational purposes. Even though the world body did not mention the cause of the destructions in its report, most of the schools were hit by the Saudi aerial attacks.
Since the beginning of the war against our country, the Saudi-led coalition has been seeking to target the educational system because the enemy realizes the importance of education and its role in the society. So the coalition cut the salaries of employees, including teachers, which negatively affected the country's education. Due to the war, we were only able to print a very small percentage of the textbooks, and the poor living conditions forced many children to leave education and enter the labor market to support their families.
For its part, the International Committee of the Red Cross has urged the international community to save the education system in the country. It says there are over 2 million children out of school and over 8 million students need support to access education.
Over 2 million children don't have access to proper education in Yemen. And one out of four of all primary and secondary schools have been damaged or have been used for purposes other than what they're intended for. This is exacerbated by internally displaced people using some schools as shelters as they are forced to flee from their homes to escape the ongoing conflict. Of course, education will have long-lasting effects and ramifications that will indeed impact the Yemeni people for generations to come.
Structured learning has been further hindered as 172,000 teachers have been irregularly paid since 2016, while some have not been paid at all. Sadly, some teachers could not even cover the transportation costs as they are working voluntarily.
Despite all the challenges, education remains the safety net for future generations. Therefore, Yemenis say they will keep pushing their children to schools, hoping to build a generation that will reconstruct the country after the Saudi-led war. Abdul Latif Lwashali, Sana'a.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day He appointed for a rising. To Thee belongs praise, for Thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst Thou willed, Thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to Thee belongs praise, for Thou created, then proportioned, and ordained and decreed, and gave death and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure. And provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
Limelight.
The consequences of Europe's submission to the US dictates are being felt deeply these days as the European households are grappling with soaring energy prices and high inflation rates. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. The website of RT wrote, Berlin must act quickly and drastically to avoid hospital closures, the health minister has warned. Many hospitals in Germany may be forced into bankruptcy due to soaring energy prices and inflation unless the federal government comes up with some form of assistance, Health Minister Karl Lauterbach said recently. He said, if we do not react quickly and really drastically, there will be closures. The German Hospital Federation complained last week that the funding gap could add up to around 15 billion euros in 2022 and 2023, but the health minister brushed aside that estimate, saying that no one can predict how expensive electricity will be next year. The Federation, however, said that extra energy costs account for just about a third of that sum, while the rest of it was non-refinanced increases in material costs due to soaring inflation. The health chief is set to meet Finance Minister Christian Lindner to discuss potential forms of assistance the government can provide, but has for now ruled out creating a specialized federal fund to help keep the healthcare facilities afloat. The hospitals are in a very special situation, he said, adding, but we cannot create separate special funds for each sphere. Annual inflation in Germany continues to rise by double digits, accelerating to 10.9% in September, finalized data from the Federal Statistical Office showed recently. The inflation rate has reached an all-time high since German reunification, the Stasi President George Thiel said, citing enormous price rises for energy products as well as food costs as the main reasons for the high inflation. Leading German economists have recently warned that skyrocketing gas prices could push the EU's largest economy into recession. They forecast that Germany will be among the countries worst affected by the global economic slowdown next year. The EU is currently struggling with a severe energy crisis, with gas prices hitting record levels, driving up overall inflation. Russia once covered over 40% of the EU's gas needs prior to the start of its military operation in Ukraine and the ensuing sanctions. Supplies have dropped dramatically this year, exacerbating the energy crisis as the bloc seeks to reduce its dependence on Russian energy and punish Moscow. German energy giant EnBW AG announced recently that gas prices for households will rise again by an average 38% starting on December 1st. The announcement comes around 3 months after the previous increase went into effect. Also, Anadolu website reported, the incidence of bankruptcy claims filed by companies and partnerships in Germany have increased by 34% to 762 year-on-year in September, exceeding forecast, the Economic Research Institute IWH said recently. The institute has predicted a rise of 25% a month ago for September, it added. Stephen Mueller, a director at the institute, said there will be visible increases in bankruptcies in the coming months. For October, IWH's leading indicators signal for a one-third more bankruptcies annually. While in November, even a 40% level can be exceeded, he noted. In addition to the seriously deteriorating economic situation, bankruptcies stemmed from a sharp increase in prices of important factors of production, Mueller said. While the European Central Bank's interest rate hikes raised the financing costs for companies, the increased average wage per hour from 10.45 euros to 12 euros as of October added new costs to firms' budgets. The rises in energy prices related to the ongoing Russia-Ukraine crisis have also adversely affected the cost. Also, AFP reported massive crowds of protesters took to the streets of Paris recently to voice discontent over the rising cost of living. It comes as the country's largest trade union continues a refinery strike that has closed gas stations across the country. The protest was organized by Jean-Luc Mélenchon, a former presidential candidate and leader of the left-wing France Unbound party. A number of other leftist parties and organizations participated, with some calling on President Emmanuel Macron to take a stronger action against climate change. However, economic concerns are first and foremost on the minds of protesters. It's not the march of Mr. Mélenchon, the LFI leader told France 3 TV, adding, it's a march of the people who are hungry, who are cold, and who want to be better paid. The rise in prices is unbearable, LFI Deputy Manon Aubry told AFP, adding, it is the greatest loss of purchasing power in 40 years. France's inflation rate currently stands at 6%, while almost all of the country's industrial sectors have recorded a drop in activity due to rising energy costs, largely a result of the EU's sanctioning of Russian fossil fuels following the launch of Moscow's special operation in Ukraine. With household energy bills soaring, firewood is once again in demand in France, and power outages have been forecast. Clashes between far-left radicals, a regular fixture at French protests and police officers were reported, with riot police firing tear gas to subdue the black-clad rioters. Amid the protests, France's CGT trade union is continuing strikes at oil refineries, demanding pay rises for workers. The strikes, which have been ongoing for 3 weeks, have caused shortages and rationing at gas stations. GCT said recently that it rejected a pay offer from oil giant Total Energies.
IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
hungry humans. Part 3.
This is the battlefield, a manifestation of humans' cruelty. Everything happens fast and in a riotous way in the battlefield. But sometimes wars are silent and hidden with an attractive and charming look. Such wars are sometimes more threatening and result in more victims. Like the war that I want to tell you about. A war that you may not have even imagined, but we are in the middle of the battlefield. I want to start my story with a question. Why is fast food so popular in this era? One recipe and one taste. Everything is similar. Ready-to-eat foods are without stories because there is no time to tell stories in the middle of the battlefield. We can find them in hypermarkets. There is no story here. The story of each product is summarized in barcodes and a few lines and numbers below them. It doesn't matter where the food comes from. They say here instead of everywhere. Here, like on the battlefield, everything happens fast. Speed is a modern phenomenon that has become a disaster for human lives and the Earth. Speed in food production and consumption means harming Mother Earth. It means the ruination of water, soil, and the environment. Fast food causes the loss of diversity and cultural values and even increases the number of hungry people, and it harms people's health. But vegan movements were formed everywhere in the world and were more widespread than entomophages. Vegans believe that for the health of humans and the environment and to respect the rights of animals, humans should basically stop eating meat and become vegetarians.
You're safe now, cow.
Thank you.
You're not food. You're my friend. Food or friends? Food or friends? Friends! Friends!
Friends! Friends! Friends! Friends! Friends! Friends!
Vegan-friendly restaurants are expanding with this idea. In these restaurants, the food has a look of meat, but with vegetables as its components. This restaurant only serves vegetarian meals, and it is full of things that reminds us of former times. The names of the dishes in this menu were very strange. There were names like Del Barana, Candle, Butterfly, Flower, and Mastan Salamat Mikonan. Old things and strange names mean that we have to go back to the time of grandmothers, the time of family harmony, to the time before the war, a time when food had a different meaning with family gatherings. But If all the signs in the city are filled with names like aunts and uncles, will cooking and eating habits really go back to the time of our grandmothers? Apparently, instead of passion, the citizens here use bombs, RPGs, and armored personnel carriers to name sandwiches. In these restaurants, passion becomes meaningless for the customers, and they don't care about the taste of the foods either. The appearance of the foods are more important than their taste in such restaurants. Television was slowly forgotten by the rise of social media. The age of television was the age of mass production, and the era of social media is a period of mass consumption. In this era, everything is related to illustration. The value of products are determined by the attractiveness of their images. In the era of image consumption, McDonald's, which invited everyone to eat the same type of food, gradually fell out of favor, giving way to tasters who advertised foods with a completely different appearance. In this new battlefield, these tasters give the order to attack. Sauce, cheese, and Instagram. If these three items are properly put together, they can do miracles in the age of visualization of the world. Prayer for the Whale is the name of a film about food. Food of Alaskan people who eat whale meat. But before hunting a whale, they pray with it. They believe that the whale gives itself to the hunters.
Thank you for this day, for the gift of the whale.
I asked Kili Yuyan, the director of the film, about these strange customs and beliefs.
He's saying, thank you to the whales for coming back year after year. Thank you for giving yourselves. The Nyupyak always say that the whale is giving itself to you. And you can really see that the whaling is good for the food. It's part of the community. It's culturally very powerful because it's the primary source of identity. Also, you know, there are whaling cultures that feel very much tied to the whale. The fate of the whale is the fate of the people. And so all of that is 100% integrated.
Seems that whaling is something tough to do. Didn't people of that region try to change their diet to get rid of whaling difficulties?
No, you know, Inuit peoples eat all meat. And it's very difficult for outsiders to understand that that is a necessary part of life. And that's how, culturally speaking, that's important. I'm native, and most of us are lactose intolerant. You know, we can't have milk. Hopefully there is a perspective that people can understand, which is that cultural preferences for food are very important. Forcing people to adopt to a different foods equals health problems like obesity, diabetes, all these kinds of things. And then on top of that too, you know, you kind of lose a sense of who you are. And when you lose your identity, then that leads to big problems.
Kili, have you ever been passed any judgment and that with your railing you're damaging environment and nature or something like that?
This whole thing was very controversial. Originally, like in the late 1970s, the U.S. government came in and looked at the population, and they tried to study it, and they said, hey, you guys, there's only 800 whales left, and you hunted 100 this year. There's not going to be any left. You know, the elders came at them and said, no, you're totally wrong. You're off by, you know, you're off by an order of magnitude. Like, there's way more whales than that. You think we don't know, like, you know, that if we're hunting all these whales, we would kill them all? But the government said, and the International Whaling Commission came in and said, no, you can't hunt any whales. And they made them do better science, really. And when a couple years later, after they had done all the studies, they came back with a number and they said, oh, I'm sorry, guys, we were wrong. There are actually 8,000 whales here, not 800.
So it seems that despite the fact that meat is the main food of people in that region and the people go on with whaling, yet biological balance is not tipped over there. Neither people did not lose their health, nor the environment destroyed. Why there is no such disbalance in our era?
The idea that there is not balance, I think, on some way is a result of civilization and sort of like, I don't know, maybe even capitalism. I mean, there's the whole idea that if there's going to be a resource, that no matter what, you're going to end up destroying that resource, you know? I think that's a very strange idea, and that's not human at all, you know? It's a very strange little kind of quirk of what dominant cultures have now. But, I mean, you know, if you live close to the land, it's really hard to not have that balance, right? Because if you've lived there for thousands of years, you've figured out how to have this balance.
People who pray for their food, people who eat meat, but do not disturb the balance of nature and environment. People whose identity and culture are mixed with the food they eat.
One of the probably the best ways that we could try to achieve this balance too, especially if you're talking about cities, is I think one of the hard parts about modern life that makes it very easy to be out of balance is that we don't, there's too many steps in between where the food comes from or where the resource comes from and then what we eat.
Kili Yuyan believes that we will approach the balance if the intermediaries are removed and humans establish direct contact with the earth. This is not an easy task in today's world. How can one think about reducing the distance between the man and the earth in the world of profit, speed, and capital? Mohammad Qayyum Panah has taken good steps to reduce this gap. Mohammad tries to reduce the distance between farmer and consumer with an innovative idea and by establishing a startup. The story of the product is the story of who, where, and how each product was grown and produced. These stories make other new stories different stories. The story you heard was not the story of war. It was a story of the closeness of hearts and love. But the war is still going on. Man's war with himself, with animals and plants, and with the earth. We may not have started this war, but we are definitely involved in its fate. The continuation of this war depends on the choices we make for our daily food.
in the limelight.
The economic crisis in Europe has put people all over the European continent under severe pressure. These days, the capitals of Germany, France and Italy are witnessing the presence of people on the streets, demonstrating and protesting because of rising inflation and increase in energy prices. In Berlin, Paris and Rome, police are suppressing the demonstrators. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Euronews gives us more details. Hundreds of people affected by Germany's cost of living crisis gathered outside the Federal Chancellery in Berlin over the weekend to protest what they say is the increasingly worsening situation in people's lives. Some demonstrators held signs calling for immediate help for the poor, while other placards read, "We need healthy food, abolish poverty." In August, inflation in Germany reached a 50-year high, hitting 8.9%. In May, it had reached 8.7%, a figure not seen since 1973 and 1974 during a previous oil crisis. One protester said, "We're no longer up to our necks in water, we're in the process of sinking. We can't go on, we need help." The demonstrators are calling for help securing decent housing and more support for people in low-income households. The president of the Poverty Network Association, Michael Stifel, said, "Society is becoming very divided. You noticed it in the pandemic. If you only have a two-room flat in Neukölln with five people, or if you come from Ukraine or Syria and have to live in a hostel with five people in one room," Stifel said, "that's poverty, and that's shabby in such a rich country." A yearly report conducted by R&V Versicherung, a German insurance company, found that increasing cost of living in the country was people's top concern, followed by lack of affordable housing and the country's worsening economy. Last year, the German public was mostly worried about tax hikes because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Radio France International, RFI, explains more about the same story. Nearly 3 weeks into a strike that has forced filling stations across France to close, an estimated 140,000 demonstrators took to the streets of Paris on Sunday, 16th of October, in protest against soaring living costs, fuel strikes and climate inaction. According to the organisers of the event, some 140,000 people took part in the March Against High Living Costs and Climate Inaction in Paris on Sunday, 16th of October. The demonstration was organised by the left-wing Noops Alliance, led by the hard-left France Unbowed LFI party. The leader of the LFI party, Jean-Luc Mélenchon, has lauded the huge success of the march, specifically praising the significant turnout. However, French police maintain just 30,000 demonstrators took part in last Sunday's event, as they had earlier predicted. Left-wing opponents of President Emmanuel Macron's administration had organised the demonstrations for last Sunday, 16th of October, which they said is also in protest against government inaction over climate change. Jean-Luc Mélenchon, firebrand leader of the left-wing France Unbowed political party, had planned the march well before the current strike, but organisers are hoping to pick up some of the momentum from the current industrial action. According to the deputy leader of France Unbowed LFI party, Manon Aubry, the rise in prices is unbearable. It is the greatest loss of purchasing power in the past 40 years. La Presse Digitale newspaper has also covered the same story. Dozens of protesters led by USB Union burnt energy bills outside CDP Bank in Rome, Italy recently as part of a rally against the rising cost of living. The participants in the rally chanted and held placards with some reading, "We're not paying the bills and we're not paying for your crisis and your wars." In Rome, Milan and other Italian cities, citizens took to the streets against rising energy prices and set fire to their bills. The mobilization against price increases was launched by the union USB in protest against unjustified increases in domestic utility bills. According to the protesters, increases linked to speculation that the government must remedy to avoid a social revolt in the coming months. In the capital, Rome, gas and electricity bills on fire under the headquarters of Cassa Depositi e Prestiti in Milan instead flash mobbed the soaring energy prices in Piazza Cavour in front of the headquarters of ARERA, the regulatory authority for energy networks and environment, where a giant facsimile of a bill was burnt to manifest in a blatant way the opposition of the policies of the state also in the field of energy. As the energy crisis continues to bite in Italy, people from all walks of life have been staging protests across the country. High school students took to the streets of Rome to stage a protest that converged on the education ministry. Pupils were demanding more investment in education after what they called 2 decades of budget cuts and the country recording the highest school dropout rate in the European Union. They sent out a warning to the next government saying Italian schools must be upgraded to be of quality standards. Then on Saturday, 15th of October, hundreds of people held a demonstration not far from the Italian government building. The initiative was organised by a recently formed anti-system movement called Sovereign and Popular Italy. At the demonstration, people urged the next executive to do more to shield families and companies from surging energy prices and to stop sending weapons to Ukraine and find ways to promote peace internationally. Italy is in the process to install a new government as Mario Draghi's government collapsed in July, leading to snap elections. The far-right party, Brothers of Italy, has emerged as the party garnering the most support from Italians in the vote last month, and its leader, Giorgia Meloni, is slated to become Italy's next prime minister. Many other protests and demonstrations have been held in Italy in recent days. Earlier this week, operations were suspended for 24 hours at Genoa Airport following a demonstration called by an energy plant's employees against plans to shut down their factory. Also, Italy's largest trade union, CGIL, staged a big demonstration in Rome several days ago, demanding more protection for Italian workers. A hot autumn of protests and strikes seems to have just started in the country.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.